Diane Abbott managed to get through to the final ballot. That's right, she is going to be the first black person ever to stand for a major political party, to get to the actual business end of things. People are very pleased, they say, that a woman is on the slate, because otherwise it would have been four 40-something Oxbridge-educated middle-class white males. Although Diane, of course, went to Cambridge, as Jeremy Paxman and others have been keen to point out to her, as Jon Snow from Channel 4 News. So what do we think of this? Is this the best talent that the Labour Party can offer? Will there really be a much wider and deeper debate than if she hadn't been in it? Is Andy Burnham, the former health secretary, the dark horse in all of this? The newspapers are going wild in it. Very interesting indeed. Let's speak to a man who knows all of them, some better than others, Lord Clive Soley of Hammersmith, former chairman of the Parliamentary Labour Party, is on the line. Baron Soley, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I think I can say, incidentally, that I think Andy Burnham also went to Cambridge. So you have Diane and Andy Cambridge versus the other three who are Oxford. And I think it's a bit like the boat race, isn't it? Really?
I know. Now, I'm just wondering how they're going to be able to use their so-called hardcore council estate working class credentials if they all went to Oxford or Cambridge.
I think, actually, funny enough, again, Andy, probably of all of them, I don't know enough about Ed Balls' background, actually, but I think of Andy, of all of them, is probably closer to that than other people. But, I've always felt you've got to be a bit careful about saying that just because you went to Oxford or Cambridge, especially in the last 20 years or so, when they've opened up more, those two universities, it's a bit hard to say, well, somebody hasn't, been brought up in some of the hard school of knocks, hard knock school of life,
including Henry Bonsu, Clive Soley, who went to Oxford but bangs on about his Cheetah Mill Manchester upbringing.
Clive, you probably don't know Cheetah Mill very well, but
he's never admitted that to me.
It's on the border with Salford, hardcore, tough, northern industrial roots, where we split the atom 100 years ago. So were you excited? Were you absolutely delighted when Diane managed to get over that all important threshold of 33?
That she went on. I was pleased, yes. It's clearly there are some favourites here, and clearly Diane's going to have to work hard to get it, but it's very important. I mean, it's like all of these steps, particularly for the ethnic minority community and also for women, obviously, that you're on these slates, and again, we've had a female prime minister, and it will happen again, but it needs to be easier than it used to be. That's the point, and so when it happens, we all give a cheer.
And what about the mood of the party? They'll probably be very, very happy. I mean, Diane claims that she was getting huge numbers of letters, and the party itself was being bombarded by members who wanted to see a woman on that slate.
I think that's probably right. I mean, obviously, I don't know what she was getting, but I'm sure it'd be right. There was a desire to have a woman on. I think there'll be very great pleasure that it's also a black woman.
And now, once you move beyond the identity politics, what about the policies? How much difference between her and the four men? And who represents the true soul of the Labour Party and where it needs to go if it wants to regain power?
Eric, well, I don't know. I've never, funny enough, I know people say, oh, Diane's a left-wing candidate. Diane would probably hate me for saying this, but I've actually never seen her as that left-wing. I think she says some left-wing things, but her general behaviour is actually more towards the right, in a way. So she'd probably never forgive me for saying that. But
Why do you say that, Clive?
Well, because if you look at the way she often comes over in the interviews she does on TV and so on as being quite conservative with a small C. It's not really about change. She's often attacking the Labour government or being critical of senior Labour figures. But actually what she's often saying is not unsympathetic to the conventional wisdom of the day. And I suppose in my perhaps rather oddbeat definitions, that's a bit more conservative than people think. I'm not seeing she's a hard right-winger or anything of that nature. I'm simply saying that she's not as left-wing as some people, I think and hope. I think, in a way, Diane's main problem is she did something the other night on that interview that was certain, well, it wasn't an interview, where they were all speaking and things, which she did really well last night. It was on the news, if those of you...
Oh, on the hustings.
Yeah, Yeah, the hustings, that's right, thank you. See, I'm having struggle with my words today. There's too much breakfast in my mouth. But, yeah, she did something really well. She did a relaxed humour bit, and it came over really well. Do you know that bit where she said about Ed and David Miliband?
Yeah, mum and dad.
Yeah, I think your mum sort of sorted out before they got here. It was a really nice, relaxed bit of humour. And she doesn't always do the relaxed, kindly bit in the way that she needs to do it, you know, to humanise it a bit, if you like. And she did it really well last night. I think she does more than that. More of that, she'll do rather better than some people think, too. But she does need to do that. I think on all of them, actually, there's... I look at the other four candidates there, and I think there's... You know, there's some good choices to make. I mean, Andy Burnham, you said, was a dark horse. Mm-hmm. Again, Andy came over at hustings for the Parliamentary Labour Party, which generally wasn't a public one, as the one who could do the light humour bit and the human touch bit very well indeed. You know, then you start saying, well, how much experience have these guys got? Clearly, David Miliband is ahead of the game on that. He's got a lot of experience. He's got the sort. He's been in the jobs where you have to make the really tough decisions, and you can't duck them and come out with easy answers of, oh well, I wouldn't have done that if whatever. You know, that's his big strength, really. Ed Miliband does a passion bit. Ed Balls does the I want the equality bit. So, you know, you've got an interesting choice, actually, more so than people think. Just because they're, you know, four white men and they went to those two universities doesn't mean they don't have variation within.
How much is do you think is the issue of the education of a son going to play against Diana, but in the end?
The education of what?
Sorry? Her son.
Of her son. She dealt with it very directly at the Parliamentary Labour Party the other day, saying, oh, it was the toughest decision she made. Now, I think this is what I meant when I was saying earlier on about she's actually not as left-wing as people, as she presents herself and as people see her at times. That decision was what I would call a conservative decision, a small C conservative, not, you know, hardline, but, you know, because many of us have had our kids at tough schools, went to failing schools and literally failing in terms of it being classified as such. You know, you see it through. Diane, for whatever reason, didn't. Now, I don't feel comfortable with it, but I want to say, and it is important, and this is what she said too, at the end of the day, any parent has to put what they consider to be the needs of their child first. And she did that, and I think, frankly, people will view it that way.
I mean, this is never going to go away for her, so I'm sure that she's become quite, you know, she knows how to answer that question. It comes up time and time again.
Yeah.
Taking a look at Andy Burnham, for me, the biggest thing that I remember when I think of him is him flopping massively at the Hillsborough Memorial. I don't know if you remember that, Clive, where he ended up getting booed. And that's the image I have of Andy Burnham kind of drowning.
It was kind of his Ceausescu moment, wasn't it?
It was a Ceausescu moment.
Yeah.
So for me, I need to see him come strong and show that he can get through awkward situations.
I think I think you put your finger on it, Brandy. I mean, this is where I would feel if there was another 5 years for Andy and he'd done a couple of more of the top jobs, you'd be saying the guy's in there with a much better chance. I think what you've just said is right. I mean, the Hillsborough one was, you know, all politicians have this, all of us. If you dread through my background, my God, well, I'd rather you didn't. You know?
We will.
But especially on football, by the way, where I'm a mobile disaster area, my kids who put their heads in their hands and groan and say, don't talk about football, whatever you do. We all have these bad, bad moments, and that was a bad one for Andy. Mm. But I think, you know, Andy's got an awful lot of ability. He's a creative thinker, and I remember him quite early on when he came into the House of Commons, and I'd been an MP, obviously, for some years. But he was the one who was very good at listening and picking up the ideas that were being kicked around and developing them. So don't underestimate the guy. Yes, he had a bad time at that event. He handled it badly. We all do that occasionally in politics. One of the things you have to judge people on is the way they pick themselves up, dust themselves down, and get on with it. Get on with it again.
Switching the subject to the London mayoral election for a minute, you were heavily involved in that, weren't you, in the selection of candidates?
I was indeed, for myself.
And not pro-Ken, as I recall.
No, that's right. I had my problem with Ken.
How do you feel about him standing again now, Clive, when he said he would only ever stand once? This, I think, would be the fourth time he stood.
Well, I know. My problem with Ken, in a sense, has always been that he's a man, there's two sides to him. There's this very able, very creative guy who comes out and does things and says things, and you think, well, actually, he's right, it's ahead of the game thinking, so on. But, and it's an important but, I have to say he's not the normal team player. I mean, a big problem for me in putting Ken forward at that time, which I did do at the end, although there was some reluctance, was that unlike any other candidate anywhere in the Labour Party, we allowed him to go forward, even though he was saying he would not support the manifesto of the party, which, if you think of it, is a pretty bizarre position, and that's really what was sticking it. Making it stick in the throat for all of us.
But whoever went...
He did him a lot of damage at the end of the day. Did the party a lot of damage. But, you know, he did a good job as well. You know, the buses are good. You know, and they still are good. That's Ken's legacy in a way.
But they said that, well, he got the buses run on time.
No, he got more of them. there's more of them just, being late.
But if he get, you know,
no, it's better than that. They are. The buses are good now. We all know that.
If he... wins in 2012, and clearly Labour will be in a very strong position because it'll be in the midterm of a non-Labour government.
Yes.
Isn't that going to pose a problem for the next Labour leader to have a powerful Labour man sitting in whatever they call it now? I forgot what they call it.
Well, City Hall.
City Hall, yeah. You know, possibly to the left of the person who's actually in running the party.
I wouldn't worry too much about that. I think we've learned, particularly in the last Labour government, Tony Blair was actually a pretty relaxed leader. People don't know it, but there were more rebellions against the last Labour government than any government since the Second World War. So when people say it was all tightly controlled, actually, if you look at the actual facts of how people voted, as I say, there were far more people voting against their own party. So we're actually quite good now at being a bit more relaxed about this. I also think that Ken has got a lot more experience than he had before, and I think he could handle it quite well. But I wouldn't want to leave off the scene here the fact that Una King, not a black woman, put her name up front there too. So, you know, there's going to be some interesting contests around that.
And also, I wouldn't worry as well because Boris, I think, is to the right of the current government, the coalition.
Yeah. Or Attila the Hun, for that matter.
Just taking a look, going finally back to the other candidates, just to touch on the Miliband brothers. I was looking at some of the analysis last night of those hustings and on Newsnight, and they were kind of suggesting that if Ed plays the game that he was playing yesterday, i.e. Kind of putting David Miliband in the position of always having to defend the previous Labour government, that could really do well for him, and he might actually push through as the one who wins. What do you think?
Well, you know, I know you're putting your finger on an important point, and but having said that, there's a downside to what he's doing. And the trouble is that one's not sure whether it relies on having quite a bit of experience. But when you hear someone who's very recently been a minister saying all the things that the government of which he was a member shouldn't have done...
And who actually wrote the manifesto out here. Who actually wrote the manifesto.
Pardon?
Apparently he wrote the manifesto.
That's right. Well, he had a very large hand in it. That's right. So you start saying, well, hang on a minute. Why are you doing this? And I think, in a way, I understand that what Ed is doing is damaging his brother's chances, which is, democratic election is certainly fair. But at the same time, it'll make people say, well, hang on a minute. Where are you coming from on this? Mm. So I'm not sure that I would, if I was on his campaign team, which I'm not, I wouldn't be saying to him, you know, back off a bit on this one. It will bounce back on you if you're not careful.
And what about the curious position of Ed Balls, very close to Gordon Brown, being part of the party at a very high level for a very long time, for one so young, and now lurching to the right on the question of Eastern Europeans within the European Union coming here to work. I was astonished to hear him say maybe they shouldn't be allowed to work here for a while.
Yeah, it's one of Ed's problems, I think, in the game, is people don't really know where he is. They've just seen him as Gordon's right-hand man, which, of course, doesn't mean that you have an image of your own. And he's also, I have to say, does have and this is a terrible thing, in a sense, in our day and age, but he doesn't have a good media image.
No.
And, you know, I have to say, many of our past prime ministers, or presidents around the world, for that matter, prime ministers and presidents around the world, would survive in... in today's media.
I mean, he can't do very much about his face if he comes across as a bit swivel-eyed, but unfortunately that's what it is, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's not just his face, it's also body language and things like that, which you can do a bit about, actually. I think the real problem for Ed is that nobody quite knows where he is. Yes, he's still seen as Gordon's right-hand man, and I don't think, Ed was particularly had a left-wing view. He was just seen as the person who did Gordon's, briefings and getting to the press and so on. And it's not a good image to come into this job with, actually.
All right.
He's going to have some struggle on that.
Before we finish, Clive, who would you like to see as the next leader of the Labour Party? Who do you think would be able to...
I will be voting for the person with experience and also with a good personality and a good approach to life, and that's David Miliband.
All right. Clive Soley, Baron Soley of Hammersmith, former chairman of the PLP, Parliamentary Labour Party, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning.
This is Colourful Radio.